Yud Tes Mao Cheshvan, Sunday the 20th of November, Rabbi Akiva Teichtel, Kol De'olim Gvar, Does Judaism Promote Violence? This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Markovich, Lichvod Simchas HaBar Mitzvah of Osher Markovich. Mazel Tov.
Glad to be here again. Thank you very much for coming. A little bit exasperated, just had a flat tire, I had to run from the other side of the neighborhood. Baruch Hashem made it just in time. Thank you very much, Rav Duditskovich, for everything, for everybody else who arranges this beautiful forum. Allow me by doing something a little bit out of the ordinary. If you don't mind, I would like to dedicate this shiur for the Ilui Neshama of my Shver. My father-in-law, Rav Nachum Tenenbaum, was a very influential person here in Golders Green. The old-timers remember him very well. He established a lot of different things here. He was a tremendous, tremendous Baal Chesed. We're only now discovering how much of a Baal Chesed he was. And I'd just like to dedicate this shiur that deals with Ben Adam Lechaveroi, to my beloved father-in-law, who was a master in Ben Adam Lechavera. Does Judaism promote violence? Yeah. So we would say obviously not, but many times, unfortunately, in the general media, you know, we from people don't come out so good-looking. Yeah, we don't always look so good. Sometimes, you know, there's a real scandal. Somebody really did the wrong thing. They catch a certain rabbi doing the wrong thing with money or with issues of tznius, and then it's all over the papers. I used to think it's only in Israel. You know, I'm an Israeli. Apparently, it's not. I know in America also, you know, in the New York Times, they say, they tell me, I don't know about England, but, you know, in Israeli and American media, when, you know, somebody goes wrong within our tzibur, so if it's big, it's a big party, unfortunately. There's another kind of, unfortunately, anti-religious propaganda. I think it happens more in Israel, but I think in other countries as well. And I think that's the reason why I decided to speak about this topic now. Not only this is a sugya where we're holding in our koilo based tzvi, it's also a question that sometimes people here in this room may be asked by less knowledgeable people. And as I said before, sometimes the media misinterprets certain misinterprets or takes out of context certain things that are written in the Gemara. Yeah, usually it's like one line, completely out of context, so that one line doesn't look good, and then they make a whole thing out of it. I know, for example, today's shir, Kol De'alim Gvar. Kol De'alim Gvar literally means, in Aramaic, you ask me what the meaning of the word, Kol De'alim Gvar means whoever is stronger, yeah, gets it. Gavah, in other words, he overcomes his friend. Whoever is stronger has the right to overcome his friend. And that does sound like a violent statement. It sounds like whoever is stronger, you know, sounds like almost like, you know, survival of the fittest. You know, whoever is stronger gets the peace, and that sounds like the rules of the jungle. And that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara, the Bava Basra, Lamedal, Amud Beis, does say, Kol De'alim Gvar. We have to understand what this statement means. It's even sadder in Hebrew. You know, the problem with Israeli media or Israeli secular dignitaries, they think they understand because they speak Hebrew, but they don't really understand the word. You know the word alim means in Hebrew, in modern Hebrew? Alim in modern Hebrew means violent. Very, very, not strong, means violent. Yeah, Gever Alim is a violent man. The law Alim Chas V'Shalom bashes his wife. Alim, Alimut is violent. It doesn't mean anything else. There's no other meaning. Well, in Aramaic, Alim, I guess that we do know, Alim means strong. That's not the same thing, yeah? So that's already one problem we have to get over is just poshut to miss, not misinterpretation, just mistranslation. Excuse me. So what does it mean? What does it mean that whoever is strong gets it? And in which cases do we apply it? The source of the sugya is in Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis in Bava Basra, Lamed Daled Amud Beis, the beginning and in the bottom of the Amud. Zerma Shalavoyser, Zerma Shalavoysai. There is a piece of land, or at the beginning the Gemara talks about a boat. There is a boat, a ship, that is, you know, harboring, that anchored somewhere, maybe somewhere in Bavel, I guess. And Minso Allah Beitrei, there are two people fighting over this boat. Yeah, one case is, each one says, it's mine. The latter case of the Gemara, each one says, it belongs to my Avoisai, my Alta Zeda. And then the Gemara says, Rav Nachman says, Aloch is called Anim Gva. Whoever is stronger gets it. Go fight for it. Yeah, it sounds like the rules of the jungle. Like Beis Din tell them, okay guys, no, go to the gym over there and, you know, maybe call your mafioso friend and just get the boat. Something that's really very hard to understand. Do we really promote violence? Is that what halacha really tells us to do? And what about all the other cases? We all learned in some stage in our lives, I assume everybody here learned the famous Mishnah at the beginning of Bav Metzia, right? Of doing things more properly, right? Each one has to make a shvua, each one has to swear, make a shvua that he doesn't have less than half of it, and then they, very nicely and elegantly, they split it between them, yeah, by the ruling of Beis Din. And here, when two people come and tell us, the boat is mine and only mine and already belongs to my great-grandfather, then we tell them, okay guys, go for the fight, wrestle, yay. What's the difference? Yeah, why do you say this over here and that over there? So this is explained in Rosh and in Tosfos. Difference number one is that the people who come to Beis Din at the beginning of Bav Metzia, yeah, that kind of thing we learned in Cheder, those people have chazaka. They are actually physically holding onto the talis. Each one is holding to another end of the talis, possibly only the fringes. The Gemara discusses it. And when somebody holds the talis, it's a form of proof, or hanhaga, it's chazaka. In other words, we know that halacha believes in chazaka. In other words, if this jacket is, I'm wearing this jacket, I can hear all panting, but wearing my jacket nevertheless, and if any of you would say, hey, Rabbi Tachtel, this jacket is mine, I would tell you, and Beis Din would tell you, if I'm wearing this jacket regularly, or right now wearing it, the assumption is that it's mine. We're not going to the lochos of chazaka that are very, very intricate and long, but conceptually, when one holds onto something, that is already a raya. In other words, we're already holding one step further. It's as if each and every one, like both, Balei Dinim, came to Beis Din holding the talis. It's a form of proof, yeah? This talis is mine. The other one also proves the talis is his. And when we come to Beis Din with a proof, we already come with a file in our hand, so to speak. Moreover, I will tell you that the Gemara later on in Bav Metzia, around the Dalet Hay, the Gemara that compares it to Eidim, when we hold, like Anan Sahadi, it's as if we have Eidim, as if we have witnesses, and everybody knows, the Rambam says, and it's all throughout Noshim Nezikin, Eidim is the strongest raya. Eidim are stronger than any witnesses, kosher witnesses, of course, are stronger than any other card you can pull in Beis Din, so to speak. And therefore, when you hold it, it's stuck a question why, but the Gemara considers it almost like Eidim. So when people come to Beis Din and have a proof of what they're saying, then Beis Din cannot simply ignore them. Then they can't say, no, just go fight it out between yourselves, because they came with a proof. And therefore, they have to be treated as such. In other words, you have a proof, you have the other guy, Reuven has a proof, and Shimon has another proof that is as strong. Okay, we have to do something about it, and we're not learning now about Metzia, but then for whatever reason, the halacha is they have to make a shvua and split the talis. However, over here, nobody's holding the boat. Nobody lives in this boat. And this boat was anchored here for as long as we know. And all of a sudden, these two gentlemen are coming to Beis Din with big news. Each one is telling me that this boat, you know, this boat that's harbored here, and that they're only on the way to Beis Din, they gingerly walk and they see this boat and nobody ever knows. You know, like, these cars are sometimes parked forever on the side of the street, nobody knows who's there. And all of a sudden, you're telling me that this boat is yours, and you have absolutely zero halachic proof that it's yours. That's a completely different story. When you come to Beis Din with absolutely no raya, and the Gemara actually discusses that too, then we say, you're coming to Beis Din, and you are coming with absolutely no proof whatsoever that this is yours. You could be just fantasizing this completely, both of you. Maybe it belongs to you, you have no proof, maybe to you, or maybe it doesn't belong to any of you, and it's some, you know, you're just being a bit of shrewd businessman, and you decide, hey, that's a good business to have this boat, and I'll start being a boat skipper and taking people around, and your friend thinks the same. It's as if the deal never actually started, there are no riots, and nothing is rooted over here, and then, and only then, we say that called Zalim Gvar. One could argue and say, that's also mentioned in Tosfos, in Bav Metzia, and in other Rishonim, one could argue and say that maybe we can do it in a more civil way, and Beis Din should hold on to the boat until further notice. Yeah? In other words, Beis Din can say, hey, we don't want the jungle rules to apply over here. Reuven and Shimon will start wrestling on the boat. Yeah? No, we don't want that. Maybe Beis Din should actually sort of hold the boat. I don't know, put some kind of, you know, ribbon. No excess Beis Din only, you know. Staff only beyond that point kind of thing over the boat, and nobody should take hold of the boat until you come with some kind of proof, Adim. There is a reason why we don't say that. Sometimes we do apply that, by the way, also in Bav Metzia. Here we don't, and we're going to discuss why soon. We don't opt for that. We don't take this option. So how does Kol Dalim Gvar work? Is it really the rules of the jungle, or is there something deeper over here? I'll tell you the truth right now with my chavrusa, my dear chavrusa, originally from Golders Green, Yossi Posen. We're in the middle of the sugya, so I'll just sort of suggest different ideas that we have. We're not done with the sugya yet. I don't have the maskanas yet. I don't have the conclusion. Please don't view it as half-baked. You can try and view it as, you know, as an aperitif, you know, as a teaser, as a taster. We're starting the sugya together, and eventually I invite each and every one of you to continue the sugya on your own, but we're just going to get some ideas about the sugya and see what we can get here. Says the Rosh, how does Kol Dalim Gvar work? What does it really mean that the stronger one gets it? Strange to understand. Says the Rosh, Hai Kol Dalim Gvar Dinahu, it's a din, it is a din in Beis Din, first of all. We know that each and every word in the Rishonim is very precise and meduyak. It's a din. It's a halacha. What is halacha? The kol mishagover yodi bepam rishayna hu shaloi. Whoever took over the boat first, it's his. Yeah? In other words, there's no forever fighting over here. This is the shita of the Rosh. Yeah? It's not like he can fight today and then tomorrow his friend and it's like an ongoing wrestling championship over here. It's not. Whoever got it first, it's his. Until his friend brings a raya. In other words, we create a situation which is more civil of a moitzim chaver of a raya. Yeah, just like we spoke before about my jacket. Yeah, if anybody wants to take my jacket or whatever, he will be on the inferior side. Yoda la tachtoina, moitzim chaver of a raya. Here too, we say, okay, whoever managed to physically catch the boat first and actually, you know, be there and get hold of it, he should be the one, the muhzak, the one holding it, and his friend will be on the other side, on the outside, and he'll be a moitzim chaver lo v'raya. The kol zman shelo v'raya, as long as he does bring a raya, afim tig bar yodo, lo shav kinan lei, etc. In other words, if the other one catches it, then we tell him, go away, the first one caught it. Says the Rosh, why? The lo mistaber shitak nechachomim shiur kol yimei b'riv v'machlokes, etc. It doesn't make sense that chachomim will make a takona. Again, the Rosh sees it as a din. Chachomim pasken a din by definition, cannot be something that's changeable every other day. We can't have a circus going on over here with different people. You know, today Reuven, tomorrow Shimon, you know, there's no end to it. He's going to call his Italian mafia friends, he's going to call his Russian mafia friends, you know, where's the end of it? He's going to go to the gym. Now, says the Rosh, we have to put a stop to it. One person holds it and the other one not. You may ask a question that it's still unfair. Why? In a way, it's even more unfair, right? Because why is it that Reuven, the stronger guy, gets it, while the other one is standing outside, you know, being in the inferior position? Says the Rosh, three reasons. Three reasons. The Rosh is being very logical and methodical, as always. Says the Rosh, the Samchuel said, the kol mishadin imoy korov lohavi rayas. First of all, don't feel so bad for the guy standing outside. Why? The guy sitting outside, he has to bring riots. Well, we assume that somewhere out there are riots. Mm-hmm. Yeah? They didn't bring them yet. the Gemara says at the beginning of the sugya, I didn't want to read the whole lengthy piece of Gemara, but whatever, the piece of Gemara, because maybe the guy does have Eidim, you know, but they happen to be at a wedding in New Zealand and they'll come, I don't know, in 2 months' time. Maybe the Eidim will come. Okay, so Adaraba, if you are the one, if you're the real owner, we assume that at some point you'll bring Eidim, right? For now, whoever somebody caught it, it's Masudar, and you, the other person, we assume you bring Eidim. Maybe you have a star. Yeah, maybe in the bottom of the pile, you know, some of us, we have endless piles of paperwork, you know, even in the computer age, maybe the bottom of the pile, you do have some kind of star that needs verification, asmachtas, etc. So Adaraba, let the other person bring his proof, so he won't be such a miskin. The Od, another strong and very well-known statement of the Rosh here, the second reason why it is fair to have one person actually taking hold of the boat. Yeah. In other words, the person who is the real owner, if somebody chas v'shalom wants to take your house, wants to take your boat, this boat can be a very, that could be the person's parnasa. If you're on the right side, we assume you'll be really more moister nefesh. You know that when people fight for the right cause, yeah, they're driven by a sense of justice, and then it's not about who has bigger muscles. By the way, I'm stopping myself on purpose. Sometimes the example I bring are not accurate. I said if the guy can call his friend from the mafia, that will be discussed later. Actually, the Gemara discusses it in a different place. So far, let's assume that it's just Reuven against Shimon. They're not calling their big, scary friends. Okay? So, although Reuven may be physically weaker, but if Reuven is the real owner, he would really be Moiser Nefesh. People are taking my house. I'll be driven by my sense of justice, by a sense of existentialist sense, and therefore more than the other guy, the schwindler, who's just trying to make easy money. The schwindler will go somewhere else, find another korban. Yeah, Meshenken, the guy who is driven by a sense of justice, we assume will actually physically, yeah, really will do the trick. And again, we're not sure. Okay, maybe the other guy is right. Bevakasha, let the other guy bring proper riots, such as hey, we didn't close the case. It's not a case closed. You want to come with good riots, 18 star, no problem. Beis Din is open tomorrow, Monday. The odds, another reason why we assume that the schwindler, the ganav, is not the one who's taking hold over the boat. Yoimar, the thief, so to speak. Yoimar, ma betz Hashem so nafshi, v'yomar lamocho yovirai, v'yitzi enemi odi. Yeah, the rami, the schwindler, would say, why should I go to the trouble of taking over this object, which can be hard, and it's a ganza boat over there. And tomorrow, this guy, if I really know deep down in my heart that I'm on the wrong, and he may bring me riots tomorrow, why should I go into the trouble of doing all this? And tomorrow he'll just come with this nice little star and retrieve it from me, take it out of my hands. I will not do that. So we have one school of thought over here. Let's summarize. The Rosh tells us, it's called that in Dvar is anything but the jungle rules. It's not. On the contrary, if anything, we could say that if Beis Din wouldn't have interfered, then the jungle rules would have applied. Let's say Beis Din would say, okay, we're washing our hands of the case. Then who knows what would happen? They could have killed each other. This way, Beis Din, at least on Mesader, they're sort of putting I don't want to say violence, the strength of the people into order by saying one person should take hold of it, the other one is welcome to bring riots, and Rosh gives us three logical reasons why this should be the din. One more point, we know when we learn Rishonim, this is something which follows me from my days in Yeshiva, by Reb Tzvi Kushlevsky, each and every word by the Rishonim is meduyak, is precise, is carefully chosen. The Rosh, as far as I saw, so far, is the only Rishon that uses the word shaloi. He says the boat is really his. Yeah. In other words, the person who took hold of the boat the first time, it's not b'chizkoso, it's shaloi. It's really his. We assume it's his. Why? But we assume it's moiser nefesh, etc., etc. The Rosh gives us logical reasons why the one who took hold of it is most probably the real owner. It's his, and nobody should ever touch it unless another person brings the raya that the boat is his. So far, so good is the Rosh's shita. No questions yet, please. Now we're going to go to a completely different school of thought, and then we'll hear questions if you want.
Where is the Rosh?
Sorry. The Rosh is, no, that question is definitely, I can guess, the Rosh is here on the page. It's Ois Chav Beis. Ois Chav Beis here on the page. Yeah? Bova Batsa, Lame Dalet, Amud Beis. Okay? Now, there's also Rosh at the beginning of Metzia that discusses it. I don't know what happened to the Shittim Kobetzes. It does not have the text that it should have. Very, very interesting. Okay, I'll have to trust, you'll have to trust my memory. Very, very, very funny. Okay. Lamedala Dumut Beis, it's Bova Basra. Okay, okay, let's fine. Okay, says the Shita Mekubetzes, a completely different outlook on the matter. Yeah? The Shita Mekubetzes quotes the Shita Loinoi Delami, and he says just the other way around. He says, like we said before, two people come here, yeah? First of all, there is no derara de mamoina. Derara de mamoina means when there is a situation which creates its own sofek, its own doubt, its own question. For example, a machlif bar b'chamor, a person swapped, yeah, by barter, a donkey for a cow. The cow gave birth, and we don't know if the cow gave birth by the seller or by the buyer. It's a whole huge case by itself. But then, for sure, there is a sofek. In other words, even before the people open their mouth, everybody, except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if there's no CCTV camera there in the cow shed, nobody knows if this cow gave birth, and therefore the calf belongs to the seller or the buyer, and then there's a whole discussion about it. That is Dror de Mamon, where there is a real sofek, which is not the opposite of over here. Over here, as we said before, there is a boat. As far as I'm concerned, it belongs to, I don't know who it belongs to. Yeah, who says it belongs to Reuven or to Shimon to begin with? Over there, the buyer and the seller are the only people involved, and the cow gave birth, yeah, while it was owned by the buyer or the seller. Every guy in the street knows that there is a sofek there. Over here, the people created the sofek. They all of a sudden, out of the blue, came and declared that the boat is definitely mine. Okay, that's first. And secondly, they had absolutely zero raias or proofs to what they're saying, as we said. Says the Shita Mekubetzes, a completely different approach from the Rosh. He says, no, let them fight it from today till tomorrow. Reuven can take hold of it, and then Shimon can take hold of it if he's stronger, etc. Why? Says the Shita Mekubetzes, the Shita Lenoi Dolemi, he says, over here, Beis Din are not doing Din. Beis Din are Nistalek, which means they are removing themselves from the case. And they say, okay, guys, you're coming to Beis Din, right? Well, Beis Din work with Rias, yeah? You can't come to the airport without a passport. You can't come to Beis Din without Rias. We are working with Rias over here. You don't have any Rias, any proofs that are halachically workable. And therefore, go fight it between yourselves. That is the crux of the word. This is the main part, the salient point of the Shita Lenoi Dolemi. And at that point, it looks like, yes, it looks like these are the rules of the jungle, but we have no choice. We have no choice because they don't have any proofs. Yeah, we usually work in a very systematic way. Over here, you don't have a proof. You're making things up, possibly. What do you want from me? I'm a Dayan. I learned Dayanus, and I don't know how to deal with people that come to me with zero rias, and therefore go and Reuven should take it first if he's stronger. Shimon should work in the gym a little bit more, and then Shimon would take hold of it because we are removing the halachic authorities from this case. So, again, that seems to be like, by default, we're saying that there is no din, and whoever is stronger wins, and maybe at this point, you know, some people could say, we are promoting violence, and we're saying whoever is stronger, and maybe it's not fair, and we would say, okay, we have no choice. We could have said that. I hope this sheet will be more friendly with me. Is this an English edition? Sorry. No, oh, good. Oh, fine, finally. Okay, just one, what's the time? Just one hashkafic point, a little bit of a break in the middle of the Iyun. Rav Shimshon Rafal here says that, you know, the Hebrew Lashon HaKodesh is Lashon HaKodesh, is the word, the language that Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world with. I'm not talking about modern day Ivrit, which is different. I'm talking about the real Lashon HaKodesh, and we know the different words there, or different sheroshim, different roots of words. You know, those three letters are always philosophically connected. They're internally connected. The word parach is similar to paratz, parat, parak, for example. So he says the words in Hebrew to judge. How do you say judge in Hebrew? Shofet. Shofet. Oh, this week's parasha, right? They claimed, right? Why is Lot being the Shofet? There's another word that appears in the Novi a few times, and that's Shofet with a taf, lishpot. Lishpot, not with a test to judge, but lishpot with a taf, also exists in modern Hebrew. Lishpot with a taf is, oh, my uncle's here, to place. To place something, yeah? We usually use it in fancy modern Hebrew. I don't think youngsters know it anymore. Lishpot et ha-kumkum. When you make tea, yeah, in the olden days, very good. You know, from Chashavas, excellent. Very good. Shita, very, very good. It's in Kira, very good. To place the kettle is lishpot, is to place something on the fire. So the Pshim Shofar here says that's the difference between the Jewish Shofet and the judge. He says that in most other languages, in European languages, judge, the word judge, or in other European languages, it means the one who knows, it stems from the one who knows everything, the know-all and be-all. He's the judge, you know, Supreme Court people in different countries are known to have ego a little bit more bloated than others. And by us, no. By us, we know that the Shofet, a human Shofet, as opposed to Kadosh Baruch Hu, is only Shofet. He only places things in the right place. He only puts things into order, hoping that Kadosh Baruch Hu will do the right thing. We work very, very hard to do the right mishpat, but we know, yeah, when the Yiddish Shofet should have the humility to know, he's only placing things. He's only Shofet. So possibly here, too, you would say, okay, here there's nothing you can do about it. Let's retrieve it. Let's take a step back. Mistalek, says the Shita, that's it. However, there is a Gemara at the end of Bava Kamma that tells us a different story. The Gemara over there talks about a trap. Okay, I guess they were hunters or something. Two people are fighting over a trap that is located somewhere in the field, maybe. None of them actually holds the trap, right? And one of them will try to outsmart his friend. And they were fighting over the trap without physically holding on to it. So we all know that, that Kol Dalim Gvar should apply. But one of them was a smarty pants, and one of them, he actually called the authorities, the Faranga. Faranga doesn't mean to fargen, it's the other way around, yeah? The Faragna, and he called the tax authorities that they should take that trap, yeah? I assume his logic was like Shimshon at the end of his life, you know, Thomas Nafshin Plishtim, Gami Gamlach Lahia, that kind of thing. In other words, not that he would get it from the tax authorities, maybe they gave him a little prize, I don't know, but nobody would get it. You know, if I don't get it, you don't get it either, I will, you know, basically whisk it off to the authorities, I call the authorities, and they take it to a place, yeah, with one-way tickets, yeah, it's an irrevocable situation. Says Abaye, great. Says Abaye, the guy's right. So that's his form of alimut. That's his form of power. Power can be exercised in different ways. You know, you can either actually hold the shooter, and then everyone would say, okay, fine, he held the shooter, and he held that trap physically, and that would be in line with Allah. So instead of that, he said, okay, so I have a different thing. I'm flipping my iPhone, and I'm calling the police or the authorities or the text, and I give it to them. That is my way of expressing my rights of Kol Dalim Gvar, says Abaye. Rava, as usual, argues. And Rava says no. Says Rava, that doesn't work that way because we don't believe that works over here. No. We have to cancel him. We mamash put him in cherem. And we make sure that he retrieves it from there. Says Rabbi Yonatan Milunil, we ask him, we demand of him to pay twice or three times as much the price to the authorities until he gets it back to Beis Din, so the din should be done, and then Kol Dalim Gvar should work, and then whoever would get hold of it will be the winner. But you cannot call the authorities, you can't exercise Kol Dalim Gvar by calling the authorities or a different body. Oh, so that means, we all know Halacha is like Rava, right? And therefore, we see that these are not the jungle rules applying over here. There is already a certain limitation. It's not like anything goes by Kol Dalim Gvar. Rava already puts some kind of limit. Why? We'll soon see. But first of all, we see that even Kol Dalim Gvar has a limit. You can actually show that you, yourself, you are holding on to it, yeah. But you can't call the police or the authority and let them have it. So according to the Rosh, actually, that makes a lot of sense, right? According to the Rosh, that makes sense. Anyways, the Rosh, to begin with, told us that the whole thing is limited. And the Rosh told us also that the main reason is the person doesn't go into trouble for nothing. The person is moshe nefesh, he was the real owner. To call the police, it doesn't require a serious nefesh, you know. You know, in the Western world, they have a lot of 10-year-olds calling the police on their parents because they're not nice enough, you know. To call the police, call the authority, is not mysterious nefesh, and definitely the Rosh already limited the whole thing to you really working hard to get hold of it, and therefore, according to the Rosh, makes sense. But even according to the Shita, Leonard Delamy, that told us that, the other way, that it's not a din, based on just sort of, you know, moving their hands away, they're taking away their authoritative power, and they say, okay, you deal with it. Even that approach of you deal with it has a limit. There is a limit, yeah? This is not a jungle over here, and the person cannot just call the police and get it. Why not? Why can't the person call the police? And let me, now we're going to be a little bit deeper, hold cop. We're going to another, as we call it, a knetch, another fold into the sugya. Oops, what's time? Oh, 22 is the end? Oh, sorry.
Carry on. Just
finish the knetch. Okay, I'll try and wind things up. Whether the person can be makdish, whether the person can actually say this object before he took hold of it, can he say, I makdish the chefetz, I dedicate it to hekdish? That is actually a question in both metziah. Well, here, to call the thugs, to call the army, the police, or the mafia, that is for sure out of the question. Why? So let's really summarize the point, and that's the chiddush that Rav Posen and I had. What the president says, when we say kol da'alim gvar, even according to the more permissive opinions, kol da'alim gvar means that you have potential ownership. We do believe you that, okay, it may not be yours, but you have potential, possible ownership over this. Ownership means, yeah, you can get hold of it and be the owner. Show us you're the owner and we'll all applaud. Great. But to call the police is not something only an owner does, yeah? If I see a hefker object and don't even claim it's mine, I see something hefker in the street, and I'm just a good citizen. I'm calling the authorities, wherever, and I just give it to the police or to the government, whatever. That can be done honestly by an owner. Hekdesh is something that only an owner be makdish. But basically, reshusay of kol reshusay. And therefore, a hekdesh, possibly I can do, instead of getting hold of it, I show and exercise and fulfill my balance in a different way. But Shenken to call the police, call the faranga, that doesn't show it. So let's sum things up. According to the Rosh, it's definitely very limited. It's one person holding it, the other has to bring rice. Even according to the Shita, the Ravid, and many others, that basically step back. Even then, they step back and they let them fight, but there's limitations. You can't do whatever you want. And one tiny thing, according to many opinions, including the Rosh, but even after the person got hold of the boat, yeah, even if the other person may still take it back, he's not allowed to sell it or get it anywhere else. He's not allowed to take it out of the court. You can't take the ball out of the court. You have to play it fair. And you can partially own it, and until your friend may allowing your friend to possibly also show his kol da'alim gvar. But even while you own it and you take people, you know, on boat rides back and forth on sales, you can't just be makdishit even then, according to the Rashba. You can't sell it, you can't even be moyrishit, you can't do anything with it, because it has to stay in the court, giving your friends also the ability to do kol da'alim gvar, which is very nice l'shitasoi, because the Rashba and his friends never said shaloi like the Rosh. Kol da'alim gvar doesn't really mean that while you own it, it's yours. It's partially yours. You have usages of it, but be very careful to allow your friend also to show it, until one of them will eventually bring good raya of Edim. I'm sorry, I was a bit kol da'alim gvar. I went overboard. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much, Rav Wiesenfeld, for giving me the opportunity. Okay, sorry, was it still 22?
What?
Okay, I can still bet inside. Can I
speak to my
Yeah, once.
There you go,
40 minutes.
Okay, so 30.